Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's so good to see all of you here this morning, and we're going to sing and worship the Lord for a while, and after that we're going to study His Word, both wonderful things to do. And of course, we do have a lunch after service. I know some of you won't be able to stay this morning, and that's all right, but it'd be wonderful if you all could. But praise the Lord, we'll just have a good time in the Lord as He leads. And before we get started with anything this morning, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to come before Thee. We thank Thee for this opportunity to worship Thee, to sing Thy praises. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit, Thy Holy Ghost would be upon us this day, that Thou hast blessed these services, that Thou hast blessed each and every one of us and bless our lives. We ask, O God, that Thou hast nourished our souls here this morning. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast fill us with Thy Holy Ghost. We ask, O God, that Thou hast inhabit the praises of Thy people and that Thou hast inspire us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right. Well, to start off with, if you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, I'm going to try singing a song that I haven't sung for quite some time, but we're going to give it a shot. Number 153, Honey in the Rock.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we'll practice that one some more, and praise the Lord, we'll do even better next time. Why don't we go to number 288, the old account settled. Forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. He settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. So thankful that he washed our sins away. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 182 when the roll is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the Lord
wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and the work on earth is done, and the moon is calling yonder, I'll be there. When the
be. Why don't we go to number 190, Still Sweeter Every Day? Jesus saves. To every man.
and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Thankful for the salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Doug, if you want to do that. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and offerings. We know, O God, that these are blessings from thee for thy purpose and for thy glory, for thy kingdom. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purposes. We ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, number 22, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
This world of torn spears. If I
a closer walk with thee.
Closer walk with the Lord Jesus. Well, we are going to get started in the Word, and that's always a wonderful thing to do. I always look forward to that. It's a wonderful thing to study the Bible, God's holy Word that He's given us. It's a wonderful gift. And last week, we studied first in Exodus chapter 3 and then later in the book of John regarding how Jesus is the I Am, as was that very same name that God revealed Himself to be in the book of Exodus. And we saw confirmation of that in the book of John, that Jesus is that same I Am. As you might recall, at the end of chapter 8 of the book of John, He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And thus He identified Himself, who He was and who He is, because He still is with us. It's not just in the past. He's still here. And we're going to continue that line of thought. We're going to be studying the I Am statements that Jesus made throughout the Bible, and particularly in the book of John. But to start with this morning, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 16 for some background on what we're going to be studying later today. But before we get started in the Word, I want to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to study Thy Scriptures. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Word, for we know that this is a precious gift that Thou hast given us. And through these words, we find the key to eternal life. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be here with us as we study these words, that Thou wouldst open our minds and open our hearts. Make our souls willing and ready to receive what Thou hast for us today, O Lord. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand what these scriptures say. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to be starting in Exodus chapter 16. And the reason we're going to be doing that is because later on, we're going to be looking at John chapter 6. And in that chapter, Jesus makes a statement. He says, "I am the bread of life." And that's the I Am statement we're going to be looking at today. But we're going to look at Exodus chapter 16 first, because in God's way in the Bible, we see it's always first something natural and then after that spiritual. So we're going to look at this physical, natural manna that the children of Israel were given in Exodus chapter 16, and then later on we're going to look at a spiritual bread, the bread of life. But to start off with, we're going to open in Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, which tells us, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of the land of Egypt." So the children of Israel at this point, they had not been out of the land of Egypt very long. It tells us this was on the 15th day of the second month after they left Egypt. So I'm sure all of that was still fresh in their minds. But we're going to see here there's some grumbling and complaining and a complete lack of faith on the part of the children of Israel. You would think after all they had been through, after all the many wonderful things that God had done to bring them out of Egypt and the way he sustained his people, you would think they would have realized that he could take care of them out in the wilderness too, but they were murmuring and they were complaining. It tells us in verse 2, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You know, that is a complete and total utter lack of faith to say such things. After everything God had done for them, they believed that God had brought them out into the wilderness just to let them die. What a horrible thing. But, you know, it's really something. That's the way people are. After everything God has done for us, why do we find it so hard to believe that he'll help us? But these children of Israel, they were murmuring and they were complaining. But God was merciful and he helped them, even though they didn't deserve it. Tells us in verse 4, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So he's saying here, the Lord is saying, this is going to be a test to see if they will walk in my law. And of course we know that the children of Israel actually were not very good at walking in the law of God. They failed over and over and over again. Verse 5, "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" So the Lord is going to be merciful. He tells them he's going to rain down bread from heaven. And what a wonderful bread that was, I'm sure. We haven't had the opportunity to taste it, but who knows, maybe we will someday. We might need that bread. God can sustain us no matter what the trials and tribulations may be, no matter what the circumstances may be. Verse 8, "And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." You know, at the beginning of the chapter, it says they were murmuring against Moses, but they weren't really murmuring against Moses. They were murmuring against the Lord. They were ungrateful, unthankful, and they had serious doubt in their hearts. They could not believe that God was going to sustain them in that wilderness. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. It tells us in verse 9, "And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings." You know, when we murmur and complain, God hears that, and it displeases him, so we should make sure we never do that. "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing to have the glory of the Lord appear. And I'll tell you what, the glory of the Lord is here this morning. Praise the Lord. He has promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he would be here with us. And he is. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. So he's telling them, in the evening time, you're going to have meat to eat, and in the morning you're going to have bread. And we know that he rained down bread from heaven. And, he makes that statement right there, I am the Lord your God. Actually, you can find that a lot in the scriptures. And Jesus often used that same phrase, I am, because that's who he is. He is the I am, the great I am. Verse 13, And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So it was like that white frost that sometimes forms on the ground when it's chilly in the morning. And I half expected to see some on the ground this morning, but there wasn't any. So praise the Lord for that. But it has been cold. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. Manna means, or mana, as they might have pronounced it back then, means what is it? They didn't know what it was. It was bread from heaven. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So God is miraculously providing this manna, and they're going to eat of it. And I'm sure it was very good. And it tells them here in the scriptures, they were instructed that each man would gather an omer, which is about a tenth part of an ephah, and an ephah is about a bushel, so this is about one-tenth of a bushel for every man. Verse 17, And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So they were gathered it up according to their needs, and every man was filled. What a wonderful thing. This was a miracle. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. So Moses clearly instructed them, If you have any leftovers, throw them out, because they're going to spoil. And some of the people, they didn't listen. They gathered it and they kept it, and they figured, well, we'll eat the leftovers tomorrow. But by then it had worms, and I don't think anybody wanted to eat that. Not very appetizing. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Well, they had to be on the ball, because when the sun rose, that manna would actually melt. They needed to make sure that they had enough to eat that day, and that they gathered it promptly. But what a wonderful thing. God is so faithful. This manna from heaven fell each and every morning, it tells us. They gathered it every morning. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe. And that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So on the sixth day they had to gather twice as much. And, God would work a miracle there too. It wouldn't spoil that night, the sixth night. Because that was the Sabbath day, and they weren't supposed to go out and gather it. In fact, some of them tried, it tells us, but when they went out there wasn't any, so they were probably very hungry that day. But it's kind of interesting, it says, Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see. So obviously there was a variety of ways to prepare this wonderful bread from heaven. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So they didn't listen, but they learned real quickly what they had to do if they wanted to eat. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. Of course, I tend to enjoy things that are made with honey, so it seems like this must have been very good. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it, to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. So they saved one omer as a testament to what God had done, God's sustaining power, how he helped the children of Israel in the wilderness. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. So each and every morning for 40 years, God provided them with that bread from heaven, that manna. What a wonderful thing. And you know what? Each and every day, the Lord provides us with bread from heaven. But it's not a physical manna like they had back there. It's a spiritual bread, a life-sustaining bread. You know, if you don't eat food in this world, you starve to death. And if we don't have our spiritual bread, we starve to death in a spiritual sense. We need that bread. And we are going to learn about what that bread is in John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, it starts off with the feeding of the 5,000, which tells us of God's miraculous power, his power to multiply and sustain us despite the circumstances. He can provide. And the same God that provided the manna for the children of Israel back in the book of Exodus, that same God provided the 5,000 here with food here in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 1, it tells us, After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So a crowd started following Jesus. They were intrigued. They found this interesting. It was quite a sight to behold. Jesus was doing many miracles, and they wanted to be a part of that. So a great crowd had gathered, and they were following him around. Verse 3 tells us, And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, Jesus is never stuck. God's never stuck. He never has an unsolvable problem. He always knows exactly what he's going to do. And Jesus knew here what he was going to do, but he was testing Philip here that he might prove himself. And he asked Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And it tells us in verse 6, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus already knew what he was going to do. "Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." So Philip is saying, you know, even if we went out and bought 200 pennyworth, which obviously was a great deal of bread at the time, it wouldn't be very much bread nowadays. I think that might buy you one loaf. But back then, that would have bought a lot of bread. "Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for these, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" So apparently, of all of that group there, of all those 5,000, this was the only food. I guess nobody thought to bring any food except for this lad. You know, perhaps it was a lunch that his mother packed for him. It was just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But you know what? That's enough for the Lord. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. There was about 5,000. And they all sat down. It tells us in verse 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." So not only were these 5,000 completely filled, they were satisfied, they had plenty to eat, but there were fragments that remained that they gathered up. Verse 13 tells us, "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten." They gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. You know, you might wonder, how is any of this possible? But it's nothing too hard for the Lord. Just as he rained down manna each and every morning for the children of Israel, the very same God, the great I Am, dwelling in the Lord Jesus, he was able to perform this miracle in like manner. It wasn't a hard thing for him at all. So he multiplied those 5 barley loaves and those 2 small fishes, and he fed 5,000 people. Verse 14, "And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." You know, they should have recognized him long before that. But once he had given them a free meal, they got all excited about that. Well, this must be that prophet. But maybe they thought, this must be that same prophet of God, the same God that rained down manna for our fathers in the wilderness. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." So these people obviously were very excited. They were so excited, in fact, that they wanted to carry him off by force and make him a king. Of course, that wasn't necessary because Jesus is a king. He already was a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. He's made that very clear in the scriptures. Verse 16, "And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them." And I'm sure that being around all those crowds, those large crowds, thousands of people, it must have been exhausting, very tiring. And sometimes Jesus just wanted to be alone. I can understand that too. And verse 18 tells us, "And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid." They saw Jesus walking on the sea, and we know that only Jesus can walk upon the water. Peter also did it as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, but when he doubted, he started to sink. but we know that Jesus walked upon the sea. Jesus was walking on this water, and they saw that, and it tells us they were afraid, but they shouldn't have been afraid. Verse 20 tells us, "But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid." When he identified himself to them, when he told them who he was, they were no longer afraid. "Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So these people, they had heard about that great miracle that Jesus had done, and they came along seeking him, thinking maybe they could get some of that bread too. But Jesus is going to explain to us that there's something far more important than bread we can eat in this world, for the physical bread, for the sustaining of our bodies. Yes, that's important, and he will provide that, but we need a spiritual bread. We need the bread of life. And Jesus is that bread. We're going to be looking at one of his I am statements. Verse 25 tells us, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So Jesus is telling them here, what you really want is another free meal. But that wasn't on the agenda for that day. That wasn't part of the plan. Instead, he was going to tell them about a different kind of bread. Verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So he's telling them, you need that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And he's going to explain exactly what that meat is. Verse 28, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." You know, if you want that spiritual manna, that bread of life, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, you will not have it. Verse 30, "They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And, you know, that was physical bread that they ate in the wilderness, bread from heaven, and that was wonderful, but we need spiritual bread, spiritual meat. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, we need to understand something here. This is a metaphor. This doesn't mean that Jesus was actually a loaf of bread. We know that's not the case. But just as bread is essential, just as bread provides sustenance for our lives, and without it we would die, we need the Lord Jesus, for without him we would die. You know, when we eat bread, it provides calories, and this applies to all food, not just a loaf of bread. It provides calories, which is a unit of heat, and that unit of heat provides energy. And when we have the spiritual bread from God, the bread of life, that too provides spiritual energy for us. God's sustaining power, we need that bread. Without it, we're going to starve to death spiritually. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You know, Jesus is speaking of spiritual things here, and they were having trouble comprehending what he was saying. They didn't quite understand. Just as last week when we looked at the 8th chapter of John, they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about there, because these people were carnally minded. They were fixated on physical things in this worldly realm, carnal things. But Jesus was speaking of spiritual things, and he is going to tell them that plainly in the coming verses at the further on down in this chapter. He's going to tell them that he's speaking of something spiritual. But Jesus tells us that he says, I am the bread of life. And we need that bread of life. Yeah. But these people, they didn't believe him. They didn't understand what he was saying. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You know, of all whom Jesus came to save, none are lost. None. He doesn't lose any that he has chosen. And we know that it is God who does the choosing, for the scriptures tell us, I have chosen you. And we know that Jesus does the choosing. And he will lose no one. You know, if people fall away and lose their faith, and you know, they at one point claim to be Christians and then they're not anymore, if they fall away, then they never really were Christians. That's what the scriptures tell us. And I know some people get mad when you tell them that, but it's the truth. But we need that spiritual bread, that bread of life. We need Jesus. We need his sustaining power. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And he will raise us up again. That is a promise. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, if you repent of your sins, if you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will have everlasting life. As long as you obey his commandments, as long as you walk in faith, and as long as you make sure you have that spiritual bread of life each and every morning. We need that bread of life. 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know, it's interesting because we read in Exodus and they murmured there, and we see here that they're murmuring again. I guess they didn't change much over all those years, those thousands of years that passed. They were still a bunch of murmurers. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? You know, they did not recognize Jesus for who he was. They didn't know who he was. He's the great I am. He was standing there in front of them. They didn't recognize him. They said he was the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. But he wasn't really the son of Joseph. He wasn't born of Joseph. He was born of a virgin, Mary, without the agency of man. That was a great miracle, but nothing too hard for our Lord. And, you know, a lot of people these days, they don't believe that anymore. They don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, but he was. The scriptures tell us that. And if the scriptures say something, it's true. I believe the word of God. 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. He's telling them, don't murmur. Just as they had to be told back in the book of Exodus, don't murmur. But it was this tendency they had, obviously. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him in, and I will raise him up at the last day. And of course we know that you cannot know the Father without knowing the Lord Jesus, for he is the mediator between God and man. He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know God, you must know Jesus. There is no other way. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. You know, we can't see the Father because he's an invisible God, but we can see Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. We need that bread of life. We need to believe on him if we want that everlasting life. We're not going to have everlasting life if we don't have that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. If we have this bread of life, we won't die. We'll never die. It may look that way to people here in this world, but true Christians never really die. We pass through a door into eternity. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we know that he gave his flesh as a sacrifice to cover our sins, to set us free from our wickedness. He hung on that cross. He gave himself for us. And he died on that cross, but he was buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights. The grave could not contain him because he had no sins of his own. He took our sins upon himself, but he freely gave himself for us so that we might have eternal life. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You see, Jesus was speaking of something spiritual, but they could not comprehend that. Of course, Jesus wasn't going to give him his physical flesh to eat. That's not what he was talking about. And these verses further on down will bear that out. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. But that's not speaking of his physical flesh and his physical blood. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He's speaking of the necessity of having him in us, because just as we need physical food to live, we need that spiritual bread, that bread of life. For without it, we die. We don't have everlasting life. And spiritually, we would be dead. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, if you look at these verses carnally, they sound very strange, and that's what the people around him were doing. But there was a reason Jesus was telling them this here, and one of the reasons he was doing that was to separate the true believers from those who were just sign followers looking for miracles, looking for free meals. They basically came as spectators to watch to see what he would do next, but Jesus was separating the sheep from the goats here. Because you have to discern this spiritually. You have to have spiritual eyes to understand what he's talking about. If you look at this carnally, obviously this would be very off-putting, but he didn't mean this in a carnal manner. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And you have to discern this spiritually, because this was not talking about physical bread. This is spiritual bread, the bread of life. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So he's telling them right here, I'm speaking to you of something spiritual. This is not of the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You have to discern this with spiritual understanding, not a carnal understanding. If you try to look at this carnally, you're just going to get all fouled up. But he's telling them right here that he's speaking spiritually. "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." And, you know, after he spoke those words, those who couldn't understand it, couldn't comprehend it spiritually, those who were carnally minded, they left him because they couldn't understand spiritually what he was saying. But he is that bread of life, that sustaining power that we need, that sustenance. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Praise the Lord. Simon Peter could see, he had spiritual understanding, that Jesus was speaking of something spiritual, and that Jesus Christ, that great I Am, robed in flesh, he had the words of eternal life. "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So we see in this chapter how important it is to have that bread of life. And Jesus said, "I am that bread of life." It's one of those "I am" phrases we find in the Bible. In fact, there are seven different I am phrases in the book of John. Then there's a bonus one we'll look at later. I'll give you a hint, it's found in the book of Revelation. But this is that I am statement. I am that bread of life, and we need that bread of life. But one might ask, how can we have that bread of life? Well, one of the ways we can have that bread of life is by studying the scriptures, by absorbing it, by consuming the word of God, by being filled with the word of God, the spiritual bread, the spiritual food. Before I close, I want to go to one other place in scripture, probably something we're all familiar with, John chapter 1. And this chapter will tell us how important it is that we have the Word of God, as well as that bread of life. You know, the Bible does tell us that the Word of God is spiritual meat in the book of Hebrews and in other places and so forth. We know that the Word of God is meat. And John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we see, even at the beginning, just as Jesus said in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, "I am," he was all the way back there at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh to the world. And that's another I am statement we're going to be looking at later. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And of course, the Bible is written in the masculine gender. That applies to women too when it says sons of God, which were born and not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, it tells us right here that the Word was made flesh, and that Word is the Lord Jesus. So when we read the Scriptures, study the Scriptures, absorb the Scriptures, we have that bread of life, that Word which was made flesh. That's how you can consume that bread of life. And it's there every morning, just as the manna was there every morning for the children of Israel for 40 years straight. That bread is there every morning, and we can have that bread. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we're going to look at some of the further I am statements. I don't know how long this series is going to be, but we'll let the Lord lead us and prompt us. But we see here that Jesus is that bread of life, and he tells us that he gave us his flesh. And John chapter 1 tells us that the Word was made flesh. So hopefully that'll help us comprehend a little better just who Jesus is. And all of those I am statements, those metaphors he used, they're wonderful, they're beautiful. They help us fully comprehend who Jesus is. And I look forward to looking at the rest of those in the coming weeks. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the bread of life that thou hast given us. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst continue to feed us with that bread of life. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst dwell in us and be in us, and that thy Holy Ghost would be upon us. Each and every one of us, we pray, O Lord, we ask that these words would not depart from us, but we ask that thou wouldst be with us and sustain us. For we know that without thee, without thy spiritual bread, without thy bread of life, we would starve to death. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst continue to be with us each and every day. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with a chorus, number 78 in the chorus book. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Remember, we do have a lunch after the service, and you are dismissed unto prayer.